Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And thanks for listening to 8-Bit Geek.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to River City Gamer Squad / 8-Bit Geeks 8-Bit Horror Fest review of the 2017 reboot of It, based off of the Stephen King novel by the same name. My name is Link IB. I'm representing River City Gamer Squad for this particular entry into the 8-Bit Horror Fest, and with me I'm joined by the lovely Kevin Clem.
Yeah! And I'm part of River City Gaming Squad. It finally happened.
We got him. It's a coup. We knew we were going to get him eventually.
It was you know, like, since Antonio Brown feels like switching teams like every other week, you know, basically I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to jump over to other teams, see what the grass is really greener.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Nah. It's a blast to be here. I mean, you and I, Link, have been friends for, at this point, probably almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's been nuts, dude. I mean, we've been in bands, we've lived together, we've drank together,
yeah,
laughed, cried, farted,
probably
shat in the same vicinity.
done a little bit more of the farting than we probably want to admit on the podcast. But
oh yeah, too much of it. I mean, we could talk a whole episode about that. Yeah,
yeah, we've had some wild times, but it's you're one of my best friends, man. I love you, and I appreciate you for reaching out to us again to help out with this.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we always look forward to working with other podcasts, but we love you, man. I mean, you've always been a very big supporter of us, and so we want to do whatever we can to support you guys and put you guys, if we can get like new viewers like on your end, and if you can get new viewers on our end, we're both winners, you know. That's our listeners and everything, and that's what Horror Fest is to us, and just everyone just sharing our love with horror movies, man. October is the best month of the year, not only weather wise but like movie wise and just everything about it, man. I always get so stoked for October.
Yeah, I know, and it's really great that you guys have brought us in to be a part of this. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of you personally and of 8-Bit Geek as a group. Horror movies, not quite so much, but I mean, I'm willing to take one for the team to kind of, you know, help push this along. And like I said, one good turn deserves another. You guys have been awesome to us. So just a little quick blurb about who River City Gamer Squad is, and then we'll just get right into the nitty gritty of this. For those of you who aren't familiar with us and you're listeners of the 8-Bit Geek on a regular basis, River City Gamer Squad is a video game news-oriented podcast out of Jacksonville, Florida. You can catch us usually every Friday night around 7:30-ish p.m. Eastern Standard, twitch.tv/RiverCityGamerSquad, and on audio podcast services and on YouTube as well, as well as any social media outlet you can think of. So if you're curious about what the average person's take on, you know, gaming news topics and whatnot is as far as that's concerned, if you don't get enough of that awesome goodness from the 8-Bit Geek and you want to hear like a slightly different perspective with just about as much cursing, you can come and join ours and say hello and engage with us there too. We appreciate it. And yeah, that's a little bit about us.
Yeah, and you guys have a Discord as well. I don't know, I mean, obviously there's no like specific link for it, but I'm sure if you get in touch with Link or anyone else from River City Gaming Squad, they can get you a link to the Discord as well. Absolutely. But yeah, definitely support them so much. I mean, they're awesome. And it, you know, we all, I mean, do somewhat around the same, but you're right. Everyone has a different opinion. And it's just great. You could never have enough podcasts in your life, and you guys are definitely, you're pretty awesome. And you have some great community events and everything. So keep that shit up, man.
Yeah, thank you. We will. We're looking forward to it. Oh, real quick side note. Well, kind of side note, but the reason we're doing this right now is because I'll be gone next week in San Diego for TwitchCon 2019. So just another shout out in case anybody doesn't, you're not going to know about this until in time. But
yeah, you're going to be back from now. So we can record like a follow up.
Exactly. But just so you guys know, like, hey, man, we're not just, you know, farting around out here just talking about stuff. We're actually going out and trying to put our hands on events too. Just like we're, you know, we're modeled a lot after 8-Bit Geek because they're the huge inspiration behind this. So.
Yep. Oh, that means a lot, man. Thanks so much, dude. And we're happy to have you part of this. Plus, once again, I just wanted to, I said this before the recording, but I want to say it again. I got to give you props for stepping out of your comfort zone, because I know, like I said, I've known you so long and I know you hate horror movies. You will swing on a television if it gives you a bad enough jump scare. So if you didn't break your TV or monitor yet, if you did, I mean, let us know, I guess. Well, we can't pay for it, but you know, we're sorry. But no, I thank you for like doing this, even though it's like way out of your comfort zone.
Oh no, absolutely, thank you for having me. Like I said, we reviewed the movie It, the 2017 remake, and it's, you know, it's based off of the book, like we said, from and the original movie that came out, like the made for TV film that came out in the 1990s. November 18th, 1990. Yeah. For me, the reason Kevin knows this is because my first interaction with It, as far as a movie, was that I went to go and visit some friends to watch this film. Don't know why, but I was like 14 years old, and it was, you know, late in the evening. I went to take a bike ride over to visit with some friends, and of course, they start the movie up, and you know how the movie starts, for those of you familiar with the original. You know, little Georgie goes running out with his little sailboat into the rain, and it goes down the drain, and there's Pennywise, the dancing clown, in the drain, tries to tempt Georgie down with a balloon, and then eventually just drags him in and murders him. No. Which is
a lot safer in the older version than it was in this one.
Yeah, it was a little bit, like I said, the one thing about this was, like, it was so shocking to see that as a kid. I was a teenager, but still kind of young in my teens. I hadn't really experienced a whole lot as far as like horror films or rated R films. I was sort of sheltered for like a good chunk of that time. But when I saw that, like, I left the house. Like, I got on my bike and I started riding. And of course, it's pitch black and it's pouring rain. So I rode home. I made like a mile and a half ride in like 5 minutes. Like, I was just darting through traffic and everything to get home. I never laid eyes on It again until I was almost 30.
Oh boy, destination nope.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kevin, you have a lot more experience with horror films in general. I'm just going to give like my broad stroke touch. I remember I finally got to watch the original film. I remember being really upset at the ending of the original film. Because, you know, for those of you who are familiar, you know, you go through all the events, the kids are being terrorized, they're trying to fight off Pennywise. Yada, yada, yada. They get to the end. It's a giant space alien bug creature, cricket, whatever.
Yeah. Spider, kind
of? Yeah, something like that. And I was like, I was scared of this movie for over almost 20 years because of a fucking spider, an interdimensional spider. I will say that the 2017 remake gave me a reason to be afraid of it again.
Yeah.
It definitely took a more horrific turn.
Yeah, even for like horror veterans, like there was a couple scenes where I even like I felt uncomfortable at the theater. So like, I mean, for to do it to me, because like I said, I grew up in the blockbuster horror section. So yeah, it like it, to see that happen, like I said, 2017, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty gnarly, and we'll get into that. So
yeah, but,
dude, yeah.
From the jump, like I said, this movie took me right back to being 14 years old and being terrified again. To the point where, like, I put off watching this movie as long as I possibly could. When I started watching it, I had to watch it in bursts because I knew that I would freak the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And the first 10 minutes where it just brought me right back, and I'm like, nope, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this.
yeah, you messaged me a couple times, and I was like, oh no.
And like, I'm trying, I'm really trying, but I'm fucking terrified, man. But there is one thing, a couple things I wanted to point out, because it's just the broad strokes of it. Like I said, it starts off October of 1988. His two brothers, Bill and Georgie, and Bill's sick at home, but he makes a little sailboat for his brother to go play out in the rain with. That's exactly what happens. Georgie goes playing in putting the sailboat into the gutters and rushes down a storm drain. He sees Pennywise, the clown, who tries to entice him down there, and then Pennywise just basically grabs him, bites his arm off, and then drags him all the way down the sewer. So absolutely fucking terrifying from the very beginning as this kid is screaming his head off. I think the scariest part for me was that it wasn't like he was completely alone, and it was almost like Pennywise was just brazen enough to like just be at the edges of all of their like the waking world. Like, he was not like some boogeyman in the closet or this amorphous kind of, you know, haunt kind of thing. He could just basically run wherever he wanted to. And he was just outside, just on the periphery of everything, which made everything in the movie, it set you a little bit more on edge because you never knew where he's going to pop up.
Right. And it gives you a, it does, like, in life, it gives you like an isolation feeling. Like, you're in public, but yet you're all alone, you know? And, you know, you can tell that because the woman, the neighbor, she goes out and checks on him and she just sees him out there at first. She sees Georgie. And then she's like, oh, he's fine, whatever. And then goes back to her house. And the cat's like, there's a cat out there. And the cat's like, did you see what the fuck just happened?
Right?
That cat needed therapy.
Oh, my God. The cat looked over and was just like, where'd that little white boy go?
Yeah, right? No, the cat saw the whole thing. The cat was like, that's fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, bro. And that was the thing that made it terrifying, was that the old lady being out there, you would have thought that even this... She was right at the door. I mean, I get she's old and it's raining, but how do you not hear that high-pitched, blood-curdling scream? Yeah. And then, like, he just disappeared. And I was just like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah. And then I was like, oof. The rain gets washed away because of the rain. Like, I'm sorry, the blood gets washed away because of the rain. So it's, like, almost no evidence. And so, and that's kind of how the movie starts, where it's, like, it's not even, like... the death of Georgie, because nobody knows he's dead. They just know he's missing, and a lot of other kids are missing, but no bodies are confirmed.
Right.
And that's kind of like where we start the movie, which, once again, even this reboot, it's just like, man, they're off to the races right from the get-go.
Yeah, they hit you right in the face with it, and they keep bringing it back in little subtle ways, I guess, at first. Because they hit you over the head with it, and they kind of like bring the tempo down just a touch by introducing you to, you know, the rest of Bill's friends and the rest, you know, the whole gang kind of gets together. And it does kind of do, like, we had joked about it before. This is one of the things that kind of lent it a little bit more watchability for me, was the sense of humor that the film had about adolescence and just kids being kids. Mm-hmm. And a little bit about how ridiculous horror movies can be just as a trope. Right, like, as a genre, horror is essentially a comedy, in the Greek definition of the word. Sorry, my cat opened the door. in the traditional theatrical sense, of a Greek tragedy, horror movies are essentially comedies, which is basically where, like, the hero overcomes overcomes whatever trial they're up against. They basically win, you know. I guess that's like the ultimate, you know, definition of it. But
they find a way to make comedy out of this too. Like, I mean, there are jump scares in this movie, but there are some funny moments too in between to keep people kind of at least, you know, keep them sane. Because I think if you keep giving them horror reaction after horror reaction, it's eventually going to mess with their head. So it's nice to break up the action with a little bit of comedy. So.
Yeah, and it was kind of, and it also was very relatable. If you ever felt like you were on the fringes of your particular social group or, you know, whatever, like, there was a lot that you could see of yourself in these kids. And even if you were probably, like, a popular kid, you know, there was probably some part of at least one of the main characters that you could kind of latch onto and relate to. And that relatability also made it a little bit easier to watch. Because you kind of felt like, man, there's a little bit of me here, and maybe some of the horror elements of it just kind of played up. Some of the psychological elements of just being a teenager growing up, trying to learn your way through the world. I took a lot of that away from it. You know, they're all still trying to kind of figure out who they were and how Pennywise was able to draw their deepest fears out of them and use that as fuel against them. But the closer they came together, the harder it was for him to pull that off.
Right. And yeah, I mean, if you could relate to anyone in this movie or even a combination, who would you be?
Oh my God. Shit. I'd probably have to say a little bit, mostly Bill.
Okay.
I was kind of like socially awkward when I was younger, especially. And I didn't have much problems with, like, you know, he had, obviously they played up the I just did it right there. The element of having like a little bit of a speech impediment and a stutter. I don't generally suffer from that. but I think it was God, was it Richie?
The comedian?
Yes. There was something that I absolutely loved about him, and it was also the Stranger Things connection, because he wasn't nearly that cool in Stranger Things. He was actually kind of cool and kind of a dork, kind of a jerk, but he wasn't nearly as cool in Stranger Things.
Man, yeah, Finn Wolfhard, he knocked it out of the park as this Richie, because, I'm kind of like, I want to do a combo. Like, I feel like I would be Ben, the overweight kid, because I was always the hopeless romantic as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would always, like, write love notes to a girl I could never have the guts to send or write poetry. I was doing that all throughout grade school to high school. So I see that, but then also, I was also on one hand like the class clown kind of guy, like Richie. So I mean, like I could be like I can relate to both of them on like a personal level, especially like Ben. And this is something that like when I was in eighth grade, I was like the king of yo mama jokes. I used to like study.
Yeah,
you know, this is before the internet, so you had to like really dig hard. But like, so I was good at like being that kind of like. You know, like the parents thought I was cool, but, and, you know, I'm always making fun of like, oh man, your mom sucks, man. You know, stuff like that.
Your mom was so fat, she fell in love and broke it and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah. And so that would be me. So like, and, but like I said, with like the heart of Ben, you know, or like in the body of Ben, because I was a chubby little kid. So it's, I can really relate to this, you know, what they call the losers club. And
yeah.
Man, yeah, that's. I just wanted to bring that up to you, like just to see who you'd be. I could picture you as Bill. I could definitely, because you've always been like the more calm, collected one, and kind of like, you know, just the one kind of like shooting out ideas and like trying to make things better. So yeah, I could see this, man.
Thanks, bro. I mean, I was really kind of like I said, I think I saw a little bit of myself in just about everybody, because I think we all kind of we're no one singular person. Like you said, you have to pick two. I'm like, damn, which two do I pick?
Yeah,
but I saw a lot of myself in, you know, every character that was out there, and then just I think in the ways that they were terrified, you know. I remember thinking when I was younger, I used to have like really horrible nightmares. I mean, on a regular basis. So I remember like that kind of terror, that feeling of just like I could tell anybody about this, but no one's gonna believe me. You know what I mean? No one's gonna get what I'm seeing. For example, there's a scene in the film. Where and it kind of was, I think it might have been one of the more horrific scenes actually, where Beverly Marsh, who's like the girl member of the Losers Club, she's being picked on by the girls in the school because they made this rumor that she was like, you know, she's kind of like a slut and she was getting around with all the boys and stuff. And at one point,
I mean, it's reality, man. Like when I was in high school, you'd hear about that. No, I mean, like in reality, you would hear about this happening in real life of girls or, you know, anyone being like mostly women being called sluts in high school and saying they're sleeping around. And sometimes they've never even kissed a person, you know, and it's just that was high school, as cruel as it was, or even grade school, you know. And it was just, it's sad that we go through that. But yeah, that is relatable, you know.
Yeah, and she was being tortured by these girls, these hideous little harpies that she went to school with. I've seen it before, you know. I think we've all seen or heard about something like that as a kid, like you mentioned. But the screwiest part was, some of the ways that Pennywise would get into their heads, like the sink that just spewed blood everywhere, like that I couldn't really handle. I mean, it's the same reason why, like, you know, a movie like The Shining, and I don't know what it is with Stephen King and just gouts and gouts of blood going everywhere. but like the Shining, when the blood comes out of the elevator.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely not, sir. Absolutely not. I mean, the image of the blood in the sink, the leper that tries to attack, I believe it's that tries to attack Richie. That was horrifying too.
And Stanley gets the painting coming after him, because remember, his biggest fear was like in the synagogue, and you know, they had a really creepy nun or something. It's the weirdest thing. Yes. It's just the weirdest painting to be in a religious institution.
Yes, absolutely. I'm like, why did you have that?
The thing went full on. What was that movie? With the doll, and then they had like, you know, just the different like haunted movies. Annabelle, yeah, that the franchise with, then they had the priest chick, I can't remember, or the nun.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know
why
it's not coming to my head right now, but yeah, it's something along that line.
I think it actually was called The Nun.
There you go. Good job, Hollywood. Way to separate yourself.
Points for originality, right?
Yeah, no shit.
You know what it also made me think of? That one that's out. I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailer called La Llorona, like the weeping woman.
Oh, no. No, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, that was what it reminded me of. Anything with like a...
Yeah, if it's a foreign movie, man, foreign horror is even crazier. They don't have the comedy portion. They just go straight horrific image to horrific image.
No, I want to say La Llorona, and if it's based off of Latin American folklore.
Okay.
So it's not entirely like, it's not a foreign film, but it's based off foreign horror.
Oh, okay.
But it's really called like the Wailing Woman or the Weeping Woman. It's an old Mexican like. It's an old Mexican like folktale or something like that, and they made a movie out of it called La Llorona, and it's just the curse of La Llorona. It's like 20. It came out early this year.
Yeah, La Llorona. Yeah,
it's just horrifying, crazy. And that's what that statue, that's what the painting made me think of. And I was just like,
yeah, well, I'm good.
We're watching cartoons all night long after this.
Yeah, it's gonna be Nickelodeon or Adult Swim until I fall asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that one of the things that if I could say for people who are like myself, who don't really care for horror or whatnot, and somebody brings you in to watch it, you know what I mean? Like a friend or a loved one or, you know, an old former bandmate / fellow podcaster. you can walk into there with a little bit of a little confidence knowing that, one, you're not going to scare yourself to death. I mean, it does have some horrific imagery, and I think it's more grotesque in a lot of ways than the original film, especially with some of the incidents where there is like blood or violence or gore, and it's not even really overdone, which is one thing I was kind of surprised about, is it didn't really go full bore with like, you know, I mean, aside from like the imagery, there wasn't like people being ripped in half and shit like that, you know what I mean? I think the worst of it really was Georgie getting his arm bitten off and one other attack on a child that just basically was a split second you barely even noticed that it happened.
Yeah. I'd say the ones that affected me was like, and this happened to a lot of kids, you know, when you get a broken bone or something, but when Eddie gets his arm snapped and he's walking around with like his arm like dangling.
Yes.
That was fucked up. And they're trying to like snap it back in or something, like the kids, because they don't know any better. And think of it, as kids, we would have done the same fucking thing, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely. We're like, don't tell your mom. Here, let's try to get it back together. I'm so sorry. You know?
Yeah, that shit was
and Eddie, and we all had a friend that was like Eddie too, that like the parents were super overprotective and like, you know, over medicated them, or, you know, like just thought, you know, they needed, like they had all kinds of allergies or something like that, you know? And we all had that friend. And of course, they would always get the gnarliest, like, wounds. And that's what happens in it, you know? I don't know how it happens. They're always the scaredy cats, but they always get the worst.
Yeah, and they get sucked in, I think, somehow, because they're like, well, usually I'm being protected or shielded somehow, and maybe they don't recognize the danger that can be presented, and then they get some. They're like, oh, that's why I never go outside. I never had my arm sheared off almost at the elbow when I was sitting on my couch.
Right, exactly.
I love that they did kind of play into those primordial fears that you have as a kid. And then on top of that, you know, also the strength of the friendship that kind of helped them band together and break that fear to eventually overcome. And you're going to get spoilers because this is a review, so sorry. but again, this movie is now 2 years old, so I guess the spoiler, you know, cap is off right now.
Yeah, a little bit. I think the Russo brothers can agree to that one.
Yeah, it's been well past like the moratorium on spoilers.
2 weeks.
Yeah. But they do have some horrible things that happen in the film. Like Pennywise taking Bill hostage, you know, and saying that, like, you know, we could, if you guys, he'll spare everybody else, if it will let Bill stay, and they could let, and he's like, I'll just sacrifice myself to save everybody, you know, like that kind of Sophie's Choice kind of thing for like kids to make, you know what I mean? It was a lot. Like, I was like, God, you really hit him with that?
Because as kids, we were selfish as fuck, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
like, not take Eddie, take Richie, man. He's funny. He's, or take Ben. He's the chubby one. You'll get the most out of him.
Right.
We would say that about our friends.
At least 14 and a half years, so we could have him.
Yeah, dude.
But it was just crazy. I mean, like, and I think the one thing that really drove it home for me was that once you were able to put a face to the fear, it became a little bit less palatable. Like, when Pennywise was just running through the sewers and running through their imaginations, it seemed like he had so much more power. But at the near the end of the film, they kind of figure out that how Pennywise has been getting around is that he's got like a base of operations, and it's inside the sewer system underneath the town of Derry, where this film takes place. And it's a mound of just discarded toys and, you know, knickknacks and clothes and body parts from the kids that it's fed on over the centuries, probably. Because I think they said that Pennywise first came to be. That was another thing. Back in the early, like, I want to say it was early 1800s in Derry's history.
Yeah, I mean, that's as far as Derry's history goes back. He was always a part of it in some way. And you learn more. I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but you learn more in chapter two about the real origin, the full origins. But we do know he's an alien, at least in this first movie,
right?
Or at least some kind of being that doesn't belong there. And, you know, and we know that he wakes every 27 years to feed, and he only feeds on like children, which is really strange, you know, because once again, it's like, so if you're in between those 27 years, you're like, cool, I grow up, I don't have to worry about
safe know. Base.
Yeah. So it's an interesting, like, you know, it's just like, man, sucks to be born in the 27th year.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least sucks to be like a teenager on that 27th year or as a kid.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But I mean, I think that was one of the things that kind of, you know, and it's one of those, I think it's the way the story was crafted. It's one of those things that everybody has in their little towns, because most of us, I mean, even if you grew up in like a major city, you have like some kind of legend about a place. Or, you know, an old school or an old house.
An abandoned house.
Yeah. Something fucked up happened there. And every now and again, when the moon is full, he comes out from the air. You're like, shut up, man. It's not real. But you never go over there and then again on the full moon to check it out.
Everyone's daring each other to go in. And, you know, it's one of those. And yeah. And we have that in the movie, but we also just have that in real life, you know, like as a kid, you know, there was always that you have to dare somebody to actually go in some scary place. And that's see in the movie.
Yeah. I think that was really interesting to look at too, is like kind of, like I said, it played with the idea of horror movie tropes. You know, like, just the innocence of children. I think that was partly why he fed on children, is because they're still young. They hadn't had a chance to grow up and either overcome a lot of their simple fears, the more primal fears, and their innocence probably was something of like, I don't know, just like a sweetener to the fact that he was feeding on them.
Right.
You know? And then kids also generally tend to have more body fat, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So they're a little juicier. But I think that was one of the creepy things about it was, you know, it did show how evil preys on innocence. And it was demonstrated in the way that the town bullies who assault the boys and from the losers club at the very beginning of the film, they're all big and bad and tough until Pennywise gets a hold of one of them. Not so fucking tough anymore, but it showed like the evil of those boys, the evil of Beverly Marsh's father, who was preying on her. And that opened up some doors too for, you know, if anybody that you know who's had any instance where they've been either assaulted or, you know, even accosted by an adult in a sexual manner. That was unnerving as hell to watch right there.
Yeah, that was like a bit of a trigger for some.
Yeah, I definitely had to take a second after that. I was just like, I don't like that at all. But it was, I mean, I think the way it was treated was it showed, one, that that's what evil does. Evil doesn't care about your feelings. Evil is just evil. And it made it uncomfortable enough that, like, you would feel like, ooh, okay, so if somebody comes to me with a story like that, maybe I should open my ears up and listen, because this is probably what it feels like for them. I felt that it instilled me with a little bit more empathy, even just watching this fictional story, for the characters and other people too, just in real life.
Yeah, right. It's terrifying to go through, and especially in this case, it makes you feel like you're going through it alone because no one else sees it. And that's a weird, you know, like I don't know if it's meant to be a metaphor in this movie, but the fact that like stuff like that's happening with like, you know, a really overprotective, overtouching father kind of taking advantage of his daughter, and no one else sees it but her and her friends and no other adults. it's kind of like a weird fuck. If you think about it, it's kind of meta thinking about like society.
Yeah.
You know, society turns a blind eye to a lot of that stuff. And it's, once again, it feeds into our fears, especially as teenagers and kids, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's 100% accurate. I think that maybe, and I found that like the best, and it's kind of a hard thing, it's coming from me, but I did used to watch horror quite a bit back in my younger days. I think that I found that the best horror films always had like some kind of allusion to either a real world construct or problem or a social or a society, like a societal ill or just something that was kind of amorphous, like a concept that existed in the real world, and the horror movie kind of drummed up and played on that. And that was one of the reasons why it made it more comfortable. And then also too, I think for me, part of it was, like I said, I watched it in bursts, like about 15, 20 minute bursts between between times when I was like, am I going to have to change underwear after this or no? Like, I'm good. All right.
Just don't wear them.
Yeah.
Just strap on a diaper and just strap in.
I just should have watched it in the bathroom. Just
yeah.
Maybe peed on myself again a little bit. I'm sorry. But I think it was also, again, it kind of played a little bit into the why are you doing this thing? You know, especially Richie. He's like, why the fuck would we want to go in here after this thing? You know, there's always that one person that's the voice of reason that's like, hello, do you not hear the music? Run this way.
Yeah, someone who kind of almost breaks the fourth wall in a way. That, right. Like, he's basically saying what the audience is saying.
Exactly.
And like, yeah, and it's like, why aren't you fucking doing this?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts too, because I was just going like, run, white people, run away!
It's
just like, this
it's
is
so,
not where you
want to
be.
Yeah, dude, it's, oh my god, I can't say enough good things about Finn Wolfhard playing as Richie. Like, it was such a good one. The interactions between him and Jack Dylan Grazer, who played Eddie, were so I love that friendship. Like I said, they would just be ripping on each other, you know, ripping on each other's moms, and
yeah,
it was hilarious. And one person we didn't bring up yet though too, and he kind of ends up being like the backbone of the group, but Mike Hanlon, played by Chosen Jacobs.
Oh,
he
yes.
He plays the what they say on Wikipedia, a sweet, softly spoken black boy living on the outskirts of Derry on his grandfather's farm.
Yes, I hadn't gotten to him yet, but he was going to be the one. I was just like, the fire.
Yeah, dude. He's the backbone of this group in a way that, like, he wasn't a part of the group originally. He was just, you know, an outsider. He came into town to deliver whatever the farm needed or pick up whatever the farm needed. And he gets accosted by the bullies, by Henry Bauer and his gang, and the Losers Club kind of help him out, you know, and they all become friends from it. That's when they get into the Rock War.
Yeah.
And oh, the Rock War is great.
The Rock War is awesome.
Once again, and during this Rock War, it's crazy that, like, so they're going back and forth, and then you see like Pennywise is on the side waving a fucking severed hand, like,
yeah, which, like a flag.
Yeah, and so many gifts have come from that, by the way.
Oh, God, yes.
But I love that, like I said, while this is all going on, Pennywise is benefiting because he's like, all right, cool. Whoever wins gets to run away from now. Whoever loses is mine, you know?
Yeah, that's actually kind of, I mean, that was one of the things I missed it, like, at the first. I had to rewind it. I think at one point I was kind of like, I saw the hand. And I was like, whoop, that's enough.
yeah.
Then I went back and watched it. I'm like, oh, my God, it really was. Like, he was just sitting here and, like, I get the loser, you know what I mean? Like, so whoever loses this Rock War, their ass is mine. And I was like, that's even creepier. But again, like I said, he's always at the periphery of everybody's awareness. Like, he's just like any other deeply paralyzing fear. It's always just right at the edge, just kind of scratching at the edges of your consciousness. And it was that was how he was. And that was one of the things that was the most needling part about it for me, was that it was like everybody's had that moment. And I'm a grown ass man, dude. But like, I've had those moments where, like, maybe it's just, I'm in a weird headspace for the night, and it's just dark enough, and the rain is hitting the windows just right, and I'm like, do I turn off this light before I leave this room, or do I just, like, go to the light switch on the far end of the room, you know? Because I know nothing's there, right? But it feels like when you turn off that light, just something that's just right on the outside.
Yeah, and that's been, it's funny, because I've been seeing, like, there's been a meme of that recently. Where they're talking about, like, you know, just showing a person running and it's say, me in the basement after I turn off the light switch, not trying to get chased by the monsters. And I'm like, I'm 38. Yeah, no, I still do that.
Uh-huh, absolutely. I've had a moment, like, the other night when I was laying down And I don't know, I've seen there's another, like a little short video about a not sleeping with your foot off the edge of the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And like I was sleeping there, and of all things, a freaking cat had jumped up right next to my foot, and her tail brushed my foot. I almost kicked her into the sun. I was just like, what are you doing? Because I was so sure that something had reached up from under the bed and was going to drag me underneath and murder me. I'm grown. I'm 40, almost 42 years old. And that, like, actually gave me a small heart attack. I'm like, I'm going to die. And that day, yes. You did a real good job of kind of instilling that sense of, like, right at the edge of your mind fear mm-hmm. in this film. Bill Skarsgård, who plays Pennywise the Clown, absolute brilliance. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. And I didn't know this, but I read, and I think it is because it doesn't really come up in the first one. I was looking for it. Maybe I missed the beat where it happened. But apparently, Bill Skarsgård has this talent where he can roll each of his eyes individually.
Yeah.
And I think that he said the director asked him, like, was that a digital effect? And then he is dressed in the makeup, and you'll see the memes of that too, where it shows.
Oh
him,
yeah,
he did, like,
that's a Bill Hader. Yeah.
Cringing backwards, like, because he actually did the eye roll thing in front of him. And I'm like, okay, that would have been enough for me right there. I'm not on this film anymore.
Yeah, he did that to Bill Hader. You can see the photos. That's why it looks like Bill Hader's like legitimately terrified.
Yeah.
It looks like he's running away. It's so good. I mean, it was probably staged, but the fact that Bill Skarsgård can do that. I mean, yeah, when I first heard about him being cast, I was like, I don't know who he is. I don't know enough about him. And then I saw the initial videos and I was like, oh, they kind of, it doesn't look like I want him to, you know, or at least I guess I wanted too much of the Tim Curry original.
Right.
But then after watching his performance, I'm like, no, this is what's needed. Like yeah. He's got more. And like, if we want to talk about Pennywise for a minute, his like design reminds me more of like Japanese anime,
yeah.
like horror
yeah.
because of the way, especially because of his eyes, but the way his mouth reacts, like when he goes to his smile, he goes to like that really like Japanese anime, like real creepy smile where it's like, ear to ear.
Yeah. Ugh.
And there's a lot of that. And like I said, Japanese horror has always been highly regarded in the horror genre. Like Japanese horror always brings it. So I could see why a major motion picture or company wants to use those elements. And for Pennywise, it fucking killed.
And also with the muted color palette that he has. Mm-hmm. Would have lent itself more readily to animation, a muted, more simplified look overall, but it was super iconic. I mean, it's just, and it's very reminiscent of what like a clown most likely would have dressed like. I think that like the Tim Curry version actually kind of reminded me a little bit more of like a Harlequin / jester, or yeah. you know, a more modern type of clown, which I guess
yeah, like Bozo.
Sense.
I thought
yeah.
Bozo the clown.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Chicagoans would know Bozo. I think right. Bozo is, I think he was nationally known, but Chicago, like we had the Bozo show every day on school, like on TV.
That's right.
So yeah, like that's what I thought growing up. I thought he looked like Bozo because yeah, he was a lot more colorful and a lot more, a lot more pastels, I guess, than this one who definitely, he looks like he could have been from the Old West. And they show, you know, once they go going through Derry's history, you see pictures of him like looking like that and it makes more sense.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he has a, you know, he's going to go and get an outfit change to match the era, you know?
Yeah, it was a decided effort on the part of the costumers and the creative designers to make him look that way. I mean, I looked at photos of clowns from like the 17 and 1800s, and it's terrifying how spot on they are with the clothing and the design, the neck ruffles and the lace.
Right.
It's just like, it's, you see the Tim Curry version, and then you see the one that Bill Skarsgård put together, had for him, and then you match them up against some of these photos. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. And maybe that's why there's like this really weird but very deep-seated fear of clowns. Like, and a lot of people have this kind of fear.
Oh, yeah. I know a few. I mean, I know a bunch, actually. But also, if you notice, there is an Easter egg in the movie when they are in the house and they go through that room full of clowns. If you look closely, there is a Pennywise, like a Tim Curry designed Pennywise in the background. And you can see him pretty clearly. I had to point him out recently because Debbie just saw it for the first time. Like we watched it because I wanted to see it before Chapter 2 came out again, or I wanted to see it again before chapter two, and Debbie's never seen it. Uh-huh. So we sat and watched it recently, and I pointed it out to her, and she would have never noticed. Or, you know, sometimes if you're not looking, you're not going to notice, but that's a fun Easter egg that they kind of, a cool callback, I guess.
How about that? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, it's right in the scene where they all go into the haunted house and they're trying to look, you know, and they're all going through their own, like, they're all going through their own thing. Like, remember the yeah. three doors where it's, like, not scary at all, scary, and most scary or something like that? Yeah. And it was, like, in one of those scenes. That, like, it's really cool, and it's just, like I said, I love to catch stuff like that.
Huh, that is crazy.
Yeah. And another thing I loved about this new Pennywise, his teeth and his drooling made it so fucking creepy and disgusting
yes.
that it sold it so well.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the first version, when you see him with the giant buck teeth, where he almost looks a little bit cartoonish and comical, mm-hmm. and then they start to change, and then especially when he goes to take a bite out of somebody, you're just kind of like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah. And he does that, like, you know, basically like a snake, and detaches his jaw so he can, like, go all the way back. Like, it's insane.
And you know what? I know we're kind of, I don't know if we're running over long here or whatever. My timer just disappeared somewhere. I can't find it. But
it's fun.
But one thing I wanted to point out was the ending, right? Because we were talking about the look and the physicality of, you know, being him devouring children and unhinging his jaw. And, you know, when you saw the end of the original It, and the spider creature is what's hanging out there, and that's what It is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's basically, like, projecting these manifestations of himself into their kids' minds and changing himself and whatnot. Or
right. To match their fears. Because, right. Like you said earlier, like, their fears, the more fear they have over Pennywise, the better they taste, or the more fulfilling it is for him. So that's why he always tries to scare the living hell out of someone before he kills them, to get the best taste out of them, or get the most out of them.
Right, exactly. And I think that one of the cool things about this one was, unlike the original, there's no end. I mean, there's no ending, obviously. You know, they don't win. They just kind of, like, delay the inevitable, and it just kind of, like, goes back to haunt. But he's at the worst part about it was, after they had basically whooped his ass all the way back to where he came from, they thought they were going to deal the final blow, and he jumps back into the well, and he's hiding on the edge of the well, and just says, "Fear," and then disappears into the darkness. I was like, "Well, fuck this, I'm out. We are absolutely done." I as soon as I heard that one word and watched him let go of the edge and fall, like, all the hair on my entire body stood straight on end. I was like, okay. It really did work up on that, you know, the psychological horror, as much as it went for, like, the jump scares and, you know, like, the fear of, like, the gory kind of stuff or whatever. The psychological horror that was put into this film was ridiculous. It was pretty intense.
It was. And even with the comedy aside, they really do leave a lasting impression on you, as far as, like, speaking of which, do you have any scenes in particular that, like, really stuck out to you? I could say mine first. I give you a little bit to gather your thoughts. But the one scene, and like I said, I saw this in theaters, like, the opening weekend, and this made me fucking uncomfortable, which is, like I said, it's hard to do. I used to watch, you know, horror movies as a kid, so this nothing really affected me. But this one, the garage scene where they're all watching the slide reel.
Yes.
And that it starts going on its own, and it's more and more pictures of Pennywise, and, like, he's showing up in family pictures and everything. But then he eventually just fucking tears the roof off, and then this huge Pennywise comes, and they're stuck in the garage, and they're trying to get out, and there's, like, giant Pennywise is, like, reaching for them. It scared the shit out of me. I was not ready for that.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that, because when I first saw that, I was just like, yep, this is gonna be the one. And it seemed like everything that came along, I was like, this is gonna be the thing that's gonna make me, like, just literally pass out and die from fear. But that was horrifying, because as soon as I said, oh man, why are you doing this? Don't do this. This is how the thing comes through the TV and eats it. You know what I mean? And then it started doing it. I'm like, see what I tell you? Should have unplugged it. And they're like, unplugged it, but it's too late. He's already out now.
Oh, it was so good. So that one still sticks with me. That, like I said, whenever I think about it, that's the first scene that comes to mind. Like, it really stuck with me, man.
What really, one of the things that really got me was when Georgie reappears. seeing Georgie again for the first time, and then realizing, knowing full well that it was it just disguised as Georgie, but watching Bill still kind of like following after him was just like, oh, come on, dude. No, don't go down there. Come on. And it wasn't that, you know, anything really horrific happened. It was just that little flickering image of him just showing up and then like, hee hee hee, and then running off into the shadows. I'm like, man, fuck that. He's dead. I'm out of here. Like, I used to have a brother. I don't need more. Fuck this place. Fuck Gary. Fuck it. Fuck all you guys. I'm going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I will live on the edge of a volcano before I'll deal with this again.
Man, and the basement scene with him too, like that was another really creepy scene when he starts off, or like he starts off like the kid like laughing, like Georgie's like, ha, they all float down here, and then he gets more and more serious and creepy as it goes on. Like, even as a child actor, that's gotta fuck you up.
And that was one of the things I was like, it's amazing that they got these wonderful performances out of these kids. I mean, they're so talented. I mean, everybody delivers just an incredible performance. The kid who plays Georgie, I think we need to kind of, you know, I'll pray for him and maybe keep some suicide watch on that kid, because I mean, he had to really go there for that one. I mean, just to dig that deep, to be that creepy, which oddly enough isn't really that hard. It's Jackson Robert Scott, I think his name is. He had to really go there. And that kind of shit fucks with kids, but then I've heard like, because kids are so young and so innocent, they don't necessarily know where those lines are. Like,
They're just saying lines on a paper. They don't know that what they're impacting.
Right. I mean, I've seen, like, well, I've had friends who've said, like, you know, my daughter drew this picture, and she's like, oh, it's me and mommy and daddy. And she's like, and who is that person? And it's like some shadowed, like, figure with, like, its head and its hand. And she's like, oh, that's the lady that lives in the closet upstairs. Like, okay, we don't live here anymore. We are moving the shit right out of here. Because they have like that innocence almost opens up their ability to see and understand, express more. So like that also opens their spirit to like be a little bit more, like to play with some of those edges of where something could be really, really sweet or really, really horrifying, depending on what mood that kid is in. I just say we need to probably go and lay hands on him and like, you know, call an exorcist and dunk him in some holy water just so he doesn't lose his mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just at least give him some psychiatry, like give him like 10 like sessions or something like that, just to make sure he's cool, you know?
Yeah, we don't want this kid to just be sitting somewhere rocking back and forth one day and be like, what's
happening? we don't need him being like what was that dude's name, the kid that played in episode one and now he's like he stabbed somebody in real life. The guy who played Darth Vader. Anakin Skywalker.
Jake Lloyd. Yeah,
Jake Lloyd. Yeah, that dude like stabbed people.
What?
Like, yeah, dude, he's in jail. He's not right. You know what? Star Wars Episode One, man. Should have saw something.
Holy shit. I never heard that story.
Oh, What was it? What's his name? Jake Wright? Or
Jake Lloyd. I was just looking up his IMDb. Wow.
He in jail, or like, I don't know if he's in jail right now, but he's not doing so. He was also in Jingle All the Way, which is even funnier. No, it's not funnier, but fuck, it's fucked. In 2017, he was arrested under the name Jake Broadbent for reckless driving without a license, resisting arrest. Oh, maybe he's diagnosed with schizophrenia. Oh, man.
Oh, man, it's rough.
Wait, no, I'm okay, I'm way off then. I'm thinking of, man, somebody stabbed somebody. Oh, that was Screech. Man, people are fucked up as kids.
Yeah.
Screech stabbed someone.
Hollywood fucks up your kids. It's just, this is like...
Right. Especially when you put them in horror movies like this.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll say one real quick before we kind of cap this one off, but I think like the other thing that really stuck with me, again, was the Tower of Bodies and Toys with the bodies floating around like a some kind of macabre mobile / merry-go-round in the sewers of Derry. There's just bodies of children just floating in there. And I was just like, this is where he draws his power from. I'm like, that was absolutely horrifying. Like, I almost felt nauseated. I was like, I think I might throw up because this is really friggin' weird. Mm. Like, that hit me hard. I was like, I didn't expect to see this. You know, I mean, like, the toys and stuff were creepy enough. And then I saw, like, the rings and rings of bodies floating. I was like, oh, that's that's enough.
It's cool that they did that too, because obviously you didn't see that in the original. The original, when it was television, there was a lot of gore and stuff that was cut. It was a lot of it was implied. A lot of it was very, very rudimentary because they wanted to get it on television, so it made sense. This one, since it was made to be a movie, all bets were off, man. And they really took advantage of making such crazy set pieces for their scenes. Like it's very well done. The art and everything is. It should be applauded. I mean, it was. This movie did pretty well in theaters. They had a budget of $35 million, and they got the box office over $700 million.
Yeah. So. Oh, the library scene. The library scene with poor Ben.
In the basement. Yeah.
Yeah, that was also not right. we didn't need that, but I mean, it definitely did. Like I said, it played into the fear that this thing could just be anywhere, you know.
No escape.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up because I think we're about going over on time. But like, so we, at least for 8-bit, we use a rating system, like usually out of 5. Mm-hmm. But you could say like, you know, like we always like. I'll go first if you don't mind. That sure, way set the stage for you if you don't mind. So I really like this movie. I thought it was a fantastic remake. And like I said, going into it, when I first heard they were rebooting it, I was like, no, you can't do better than Tim Curry. You can't do better than Harry Anderson and everyone else who starred in these. And I was like, there's no way. And then after watching this, I was like, nope, they did it.
Yeah.
they fucking did it. And they did it well. This has to be one of my favorite modern horror movies, to be honest. And especially like, I know you struggled to watch this one, but I can't recommend part 2 enough. And this is without spoilers. I will say, there's still horror, but there's a lot more comedy and a lot more, like, they'll give you a scare moment, but then they'll also give you a laugh moment right afterwards, or they'll give you 2 laugh moments. They really kind of double down on the comedy, but it makes it more endearing to watch because, I mean, especially the second chapter is over 3 hours long.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough to watch it as a full series, but this chapter 1 sets it up for such an amazing film. For such an amazing series, and the cast, it was one of the best cast of its time. Coming up, like I said, chapter 2, another one. I don't know how they were able to be so smart with their adult casting to like match the kids, but they nailed it. And they didn't even try to go for AAA actors, indeed, too. Like if they found someone they thought was good enough to play the child version of it, they went with it, and it paid off. Because there's a lot of actors that I've not really seen in anything else that kill it in their roles. So I would say altogether, I would give this movie, I'm going to give it the 5, man. This is going to be my first 5 of Horror Fest.
Wow.
This is going to be 5 out of 5 floating balloons.
Oh my God. You are something.
This is kind of another reason when you messaged me and said you were going to do you alone. I was like, ooh, I want to jump in. And like, I found time and I'm like, I'm glad I got to be a part of this. Cause I really like this movie a lot, dude. It makes me feel good.
Wow. I'm glad you were here too. And like I said, for somebody who doesn't generally speaking care for horror, when I did watch horror movies, I really lent myself more to Asian cinema, especially Japanese and Chinese horror. And it really evoked a lot of the sensibilities of Asian horror cinema. Like the psychological elements and the coming of age elements that it put into the film were brilliant, very, very, very well played. The casting, the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous. The costuming, and especially for Pennywise, the costuming and makeup were out of this world, and the effects were, I mean, they were spot on. For the budget that they had on this thing, like you couldn't have done any better. Like, you know what I mean? Like there are films with way bigger budgets that don't do near as much with what they had. And even as someone who's not a fan of horror, just for what the film was and what it represented and what it was trying to accomplish, I felt that they really knocked it out of the park. So, I mean, for me, it gets 5 out of 5 nopes because I really shouldn't have watched this shit. But if you want to have a good horror experience, one that's going to chill you to the bone, make you think, also give you a way to kind of pace yourself, laugh a little bit, because it's got a lot of humor, it's got a lot of heart, but it definitely sets you up for a ride. Then I can absolutely recommend this to somebody in full confidence, as long as they're not me.
That's awesome. So before we cut this out, what is like, give us your final goodbye on just give us your information on River City Gaming Squad. You know, like, where can we find you and all that fun stuff? Because obviously the fans want to hear. You want to hear more, I'm sure, because you guys are awesome. And they're going to try to make you watch more horror movies. And I'm sure we'd love to hear, I would love to hear a follow-up, like, when you watch Chapter 2. I know you're going to watch it eventually, because you can't just watch the first one and give that up. I would say, I'm sure it won't be until it's well on demand or something where you can, like you did, watch it in 20-minute increments. But right. I would love to have you, I'd love to do a follow-up with you on that.
Okay, I'll tell you what, just because it's you, I will find it. I don't know if I can bring myself to watch it in the theater. I mean, unless they let me bring.
I wouldn't want to put that on you, dude.
Unless they let me bring my own bucket to put under my seat, I don't think I'll be watching it in the theater. But I will do that for you, just for the follow up. If you're, if you're ready, if you're willing to do that, let's do that. I'd be down with that.
Hell yeah! All
right, so cool. Thank you once again, to you, Kevin, personally, and to the boys over at 8-Bit and the entire 8-Bit Radio Network family. You guys have been awesome to us, and we really appreciate you. Thank you again for having us back this year. This has been a fun partnership. I'm looking forward to doing more of this kind of stuff.
Definitely, dude. Definitely.
All right. So thank you guys for tuning in for this episode of 8-Bit Horror Fest. We're really excited. I'm Link Flores, from River City Gamer Squad, also known as Link IB. River City Gamer Squad coming to you live from Jacksonville, Florida, every Friday night around 7:30-ish Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/RiverCityGamerSquad. We're also able to be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can see us on YouTube, where if you're not able to watch a live stream of the podcast on Twitch, you can catch our YouTube podcast version, and you can also catch our audio podcast version on just about every major audio podcast service around. So iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Deezer, CastBox, you know, you name it, we're pretty much there.
Nice.
That'll do it for us, and we'll have some other... You know, obviously we'll be doing some episodes and stuff like that. Hopefully we'll do some more collaborations like this in the future. I guess you can look forward to It Chapter Two. Oh boy.
Maybe next Horror Fest. Maybe we'll do that. We'll do it.
Give me a year to kind of work up to it.
Yeah, dude. Hey, I understand. Like I said, I don't want to push you, man. I know your mental limit, and I don't want to mess with you, man. I want you to just enjoy life.
we'll see what can happen. I mean, like I said, maybe I'll just find myself a little happy space, and they'll be able to watch it. I'm looking forward to it.
What you do is you turn all the lights on. Have really happy music playing in the background.
No, because then, you know, with clowns and stuff, like, happy music could switch up on you sometimes.
Oh, true, true. Yeah,
I just
turn
on all the lights. I got like a blanket or two. I wrap myself up in that. I grabbed like a little stuffed cat bug thing, and I was holding on to cat bug the whole time. I was an absolute mess. If anybody had taken a photograph of me right then, it would be one photograph like they'd have to delete or die.
Oh, man.
It was fun. It was fun. I loved it, and I would definitely do this again for you guys.
Hell yeah, Link. I love you, brother. Thanks for being a part of this. I'm Kevin. You all know me. So, but man, I'm so happy I was a part of this. Thank you so much, Link.
Hey, thanks for having me here. You guys have a wonderful 8-Bit Horror Fest. All you people out there, keep listening to the 8-Bit Geek.